Welcome to the Devin Nunes Podcast. Breaking through the political noise, separating fact from fiction. From the San Joaquin Valley, the breadbasket of the solar system. Here is your host, Devin Nunes.
Devin Nunes, welcome back to the Devin Nunes Podcast for part two with Lee Smith about his new book, The Permanent Coup. Kind of the second chapter, the second saga after his first book, The Plot Against the President. Lee, we talked about a lot of things on Tuesday, including chupacabras. We'll leave that for another day. Let's get to the people in the book that you think are playing this role. Obviously, we don't have to talk about myself and my team or the president, but you have other people who have stood up, who have paid a hefty price because of the corruption that we have, the DOJ and the FBI, with the dirty cops and the DNC and everybody else involved in this, and the fake news media. Real Americans, American heroes, have paid a steep, steep price. So let's, maybe I'll just open it up there.
Okay.
Obviously, the man who's been at the center of this is a three-star general, the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency. Let's start there.
I do want to start there, but you know what? You said something that, you know, you said you don't want to talk about yourself too much. So I want to talk about you for a minute because that'll help lead into General Flynn. So one of the things that I report in this book is because you're talking about it, is that this really started, and it's kind of how the plot against the president starts, the former book. It really starts, in a sense, in March 2017, when you've seen evidence of the unmaskings that are going on, and you walk, you brief the press on it, and from there you go and you brief the White House on it. And there's more detail here in the permanent coup. And now what we've seen, the different documents declassified over the last several months, we see now we have a deeper understanding of what was going on. As you've said, the FISA issues were largely about the FBI. The unmasking issues, that speaks right to the White House, the Obama administration. To see that list of how many Obama officials were unmasking, General Flynn alone, is astonishing. It talks about, it goes to a culture of espionage.
And Lee, I just want to make sure that everybody's following this. If you're new to the Russiagate hoax, what happened during that time period when General Flynn was originally picked up and, you know, by some agency, one of the intelligence agencies, and that began to leak out before President Trump was even sworn into office. So this happened right at the beginning of 2017. We now know that the FBI was ready to close this investigation on January 4th. Well, it was then that meetings occurred at the White House on January 5th. Obama, Biden, Susan Rice, you name it. And then it appears in the Washington Post. And then later, it basically verbatim transcripts come out in the Washington Post. So I'm the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee at the time. That clearly got my attention. What Lee's referring to in March of 17, I found out that it wasn't just General Flynn. It was a fact that right after the election, in intelligence reports, essentially Americans are not supposed to be picked up in these intelligence reports. If they are, you have to go through a process that's called unmasking. So probably a good example would be, and this is what we would all want as Americans. Let's say that a terrorist was talking to another terrorist saying, we really need to go after Joe American. Well, the intelligence agencies would not put Joe American down. They would just put, you know, U.S. person. And so, which is right, because we don't want to pick up that. But obviously, we'd want that American to know, and we want to know who is this American so that we could go alert that American, hey, there's two really bad dudes talking about taking you out. That's the purpose that we, number one, why we would not put an American's name in, because we don't want to be used against them for anything. And then why we have a process by which you can go and unmask.
Interesting.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Except when corrupt officials figured out, and the Obama officials, and what we uncovered was, it wasn't just that they let this Flynn stuff go, which is bad enough, one of the largest leaks in U.S. history. Wasn't enough that they let a transcript between Trump and the Australian prime minister, and then a transcript of Donald Trump talking to the Mexican president. It was way worse than that. And what we discovered was that dozens and dozens of reports, just I'm only talking about after the election essentially to the time that the Obama administration left the White House, we uncovered dozens of totally inappropriate intelligence reports that should have never been generated in the first place. So clearly there was some type of targeting going on. And then also they should have never been unmasked by the characters that were unmasking them. So sorry to go into that description, it's important.
That's fantastic. Thanks for that explanation. Yep. And also, I mean, I have that in great detail in the book. So if that, certainly people can go to the book. It's in chapter 7, the beginning of chapter 7, explaining what they did and how you figured out what they were up to. And that section of that chapter 7 called Outing Spies, that part of that chapter concludes with you recognizing that this was the Obama administration doing it. It was across the administration going after all sorts of Trump officials and people who were even remotely affiliated, even apparently remotely affiliated with the campaign. So,
yeah. Well, and just so everybody knows, whenever I did do that, to make sure everybody understands this, if you're new to this Russiagate hoax, when I went out there and thought that I was actually doing a service for the press to go public with this information, to say that dozens of these reports existed, it wasn't just General Flynn, it wasn't just the Australian Prime Minister, it wasn't just the Mexican President, I went out and briefed the press in the U.S. Capitol and said, look, here's what I found. The President of the United States needs to know this, so I'm going to the White House. I was very upfront. Right. Then I went outside of the White House. I also briefed the White House press corps. It was at that point that I discovered fake news not only was fake, it was also corrupt, because they had no interest whatsoever. And all the stories were not about, oh, wow, Obama officials were doing this unmasking and of all this illegal surveillance, essentially. It was, where did you get this? Why did you get this? This is illegal for you to have. You're leaking classified information. And I was put under, quite frankly, an illegal ethics investigation that was so corrupt, it took me 8-9 months to get out from under, tens of thousands of dollars that it cost me. Just outrageous what happened just to me. Now, I was able, thankfully, to work through this and ultimately got on top of it. But to this day, still no one's been held accountable for these illegal leaks.
You had, I mean, as you say in the book, it's like you drove, they went crazy because you touched on the White House. It was the White House. It was the entire administration that was going after the Trump circle. So naturally, the press that had been cultivated and corrupted over the last 8 years of the Obama administration, a press that had not only collapsed financially, but also ethically and professionally. Yes, they took it upon themselves. They thought it was their job now not to report this, not to say, this is insane. You're telling me that Obama was spying on other Americans? No, they took it upon themselves to go after you and to target you. That appeared to be their job.
And now, this is not supposed to be about me. This is my podcast, Lee. I'm interviewing you. So,
but I wanted to lead into it. So, the thing that we've seen in the spring, one of your former colleagues, Kash Patel, the lead investigator on Objective Medusa, working with acting director of national intelligence, Richard Grenell, they declassified a number of vitally important documents. One of the most important documents they declassified at DNI was the list of different Obama officials who had spied on General Michael Flynn. I mean, there were lots of people in the Trump circle who were spied on, but this is what we have right now, so we can see who was spying on General Flynn. One of the important aspects of my book is it gets to the heart of, like, why was the Obama administration going after General Flynn? There are a couple of important points here. One of the most important points, I think, is while we've been talking about the deep state for several years now, and I think that's correct. I think if we look at the figures we've come to know as the dirty cops and the rogue spies and stuff like that, they are at the center of this rot here in the swamp. What we've seen and what my book reports is, it pulls out a little bit. So it's not just focusing on the FBI, on the deep state. It's also pointing to figures like Barack Obama and the 2020 candidate for president, Joe Biden, because the documents declassified show that the highest policymakers, the highest elected officials in the land were involved, that they appear to not only have known what was going on, but they were directing different aspects of the targeting of Trump officials, especially General Flynn.
So, Lee, I know that you're one of the few reporters who've actually had a chance to interview General Flynn, and you interview him for this book, not to give away part of what's in the book. I'm sure that was kind of a surreal experience for you to talk about this maligned, famous three-star general that essentially had to stay in a hiding for 3 years, talk to nobody because he was being constantly attacked, still under attack by a corrupt judge and a corrupt court system, which is a whole nother problem that Russiagate has now leaked over to the judicial branch of government, to where, you know, someone who was actually set up completely and can't even get out from underneath this. But anyway, I don't want to.
But
what was it like? Tell us what was it like to talk to General Flynn those first few times you were able to interact with him?
Well, I mean, it was I asked him by correspondence if he wanted to comment on different aspects of what's going on. And he wrote very movingly and very insightfully about how, you know, we never would have thought there would be a coup d'etat in the United States. But we have to take this seriously, and we have to be prepared to defend the country that we love. I mean, it's really moving. It's like it's not just a government that we fight for. So he's really, you know, it's a much bigger view, much larger historical view. He's not just talking about the Trump administration. He's not talking about conservatives or Republicans. He's talking about all of us as Americans. What's the American idea? And this coup is an assault on the idea of America. So General Flynn's words are incredibly moving and incredibly important. I also spoke with some of his family members who, you know, described growing up with him and what the family was like. It's a very, I mean, you know, I'm sure that many of your, you know, many viewers right now are following the Flynns on Twitter and stuff like that. But it's really remarkable to see this American family, you know, come together under all this duress and all this viciousness directed at them. I mean, this brutal attack on a man who's a war hero, served his country for over three decades in uniform, and to see a family come together like that, I mean, it's one of the inspiring things to come out of this dark moment in American history. And I don't mean to sound Pollyannish, but there are a lot of important and positive things that have come out of this. I mean, when you and I, at the beginning of the book, when you and I were going around California, but to see the audiences respond to your message, what you were saying about having to fight for our country and how people want to fight for the country, it's Americans, I think, feel privileged to be alive at this moment in time for the opportunity to defend their country. Again, they realize it's not a great moment, but to fight for their idea of America right now. So yeah, that's really moving. And I tried to capture a lot of that in the book through different figures, again, like you, like General Flynn, like General Flynn's family, and many others.
So you have General Flynn in the book. I know you talk about the Ukraine impeachment hoax quite a bit, but what else do you think of, you know, insights that you have in this book of people who have, maybe they're at the periphery of this, but you had a chance to interview, you were able to track down using your investigative skills as an investigative reporter?
Well, I think, again, I mean, you attract a very large, understandably, a very large audience that's interested in Russiagate affairs. So this book really does burrow in. I mean, yes, it covers the impeachment and Ukraine gate. And I have a long chapter on China as well. Now, unfortunately, the swamp's relationship with China is a very, very big problem. And this is one of the reasons why the swamp has risen to go after President Trump, because he's the only president, the only American president, while other policymakers, while other House members and senators have pointed out the problems with our relationship with China, he's the first president to have done so. And this is one of the reasons why he's been attacked and why he's been targeted so viciously. But so with all of that, again, Russiagate really is a central part of this book. I come up with new details, new information, some of it coming from the documents that we've seen declassified over the last several months. There's a long section on the Mueller investigation, too, which I know reporting it and writing about it and speaking to different people. I spoke to Donald Trump Jr. about it. He was targeted by the Mueller special counsel. It's a very nice section, very nice interview with Donald Trump Jr. And if you see what happened, what they did to him, the Mueller team tried to target him to get to his father, the president. But if you look along the line, this is why they also targeted General Flynn's son, Michael Flynn Jr., to try to get to, and this is what happened. This is why General Flynn pled guilty to lying, when he had not made false statements to the FBI, but they had threatened through the press, partly, by the way. The press helped advance this threat from the Mueller team about Michael Flynn Jr. They got friends to turn on friends, business associates to turn on each other. They tried to use sons against parents. So the broad sweep of it, the broad sweep of Russiagate, the broad sweep of these investigations, it's disgusting and despicable what the FBI did, what the Mueller special counsel did. And as you're saying about General Flynn, who knew that the judiciary was this rotten as well? What this judge is doing to General Flynn is, it's unconscionable. And of course, people who are listening, to the different hearings, and they're listening to the great, to General Flynn's great lawyer, Sidney Powell, people who are listening in cannot escape the conclusion that there actually is a two-tier system of justice, that the justice system has been weaponized now to target certain parts of the population. And I mean, not to be naive, there are always problems with the justice system. There are, unfortunately, there are miscarriages of justice. And as Americans, we want to right those different wrongs. But if you see, again, how this has been weaponized to target this one man, General Flynn, it's astonishing. And that in itself is hurting the country as well.
And the challenge with this also is this whole saga, and I think you do spell it out right, with the title, The Permanent Coup, is, they had run some operations like this before to pass the Iran deal, for example. That was one of the, and I know you've talked about that, at least in the plot against the president. I'm not sure, does it make a comeback in the permanent coup a little bit?
Yes, because actually it's central, because what I figured out was, if you look at General Flynn's case, that is actually an extension of the operation they were running to push the Iran deal. There were many people in Washington who wanted to target General Flynn. The FBI had reasons. The CIA had reasons. I have a lot of excellent quotes from retired intelligence officials who say that, yes, just General Flynn's idea of fixing intel, the title of his paper, that in itself represented a threat to the CIA.
Yeah, I think so. It was one of the greatest reviews ever written. So General Flynn, who was the lead intelligence person in Iraq during the surge that really turned the tide and allowed us to target a lot of really bad al-Qaeda terrorists who were roaming across Iraq. The Obama administration was all for it when Flynn came out and said, hey, we need to fix all this intel apparatus, until they realized, oh, wait a second, it's gonna hurt us. And what Flynn is doing to the intelligence agencies is actually hurting our ability to get our preferred policy done. So essentially, it's the same old thing. Whatever they accuse Republicans of doing, ignoring intelligence, is exactly what they did. And it's why they ultimately fired Flynn, because the big issue, I mean, just to cut it down, I was there at the time working directly with General Flynn and the Obama administration as part of the intelligence community, being on the intelligence committee where we provide the oversight. It was clear when General Flynn came out and said, look, you cannot just leave Iraq like this, or you are going to see a resurgence of Al-Qaeda. And, you know, they had manipulated. CENTCOM had been corrupted. We led that investigation. I led that investigation with actually Secretary Pompeo was one of the lead investigators on that, where CENTCOM had become corrupted by the Obama administration. They were putting out fake and phony numbers, essentially, and they were telling analysts that DARE said, hey, this might lead to a relapse and a recreation of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They essentially were stonewalled and put out to pasture, fired in many cases. We led that investigation, and we understood that, and it was shortly after that, General Flynn, as head of DIA, basically had the guts to tell the Obama administration, look, you know, I don't care what CENTCOM is saying, this is what's going to happen. And boom, he was fired and he was gone. And so, you know, it was convenient when General Flynn was, you know, working to reform the intelligence agencies, but it became a problem once he wasn't saying what the Obama administration wanted for their, what is really a sick fantasy to want to be buddies and friends with the rogue regime in Iran. They're killers. They have more American blood than any terrorist organization alive. That's why Iran is the largest state sponsor of terrorism. And thank God, President Trump took out Soleimani, right, who was the leader of the Iranian Quds Force. He was really the one who had the direct blood on his hands of American soldiers. But this regime, this fantasy that Biden and Obama and Susan Rice, these are, and the media that follows them, why anyone would want to give this regime over $1 billion, cut out the Congress from the deal, lie about the intelligence. It was really the trial run, Lee, so to speak, that ultimately led to this Russia hoax, where the Clinton campaign and the DNC concocted this and then knew that they could use their echo chamber to move forward with it. They placed people in the right positions across the FBI and DOJ. They knew exactly what they were doing. And this is why this is so dangerous. And I think that's really what you get to the bottom of in your new book, The Permanent Coup.
It's an extension of the Iran deal. They had the echo chamber in place. This is what they used to push Russiagate. And it was because General Flynn came in there with the president who hired him. They both wanted to get rid of the Iran deal. That's why the Obama administration had to target him. That's why they were spying on him. They wanted to preserve Barack Obama's single foreign policy initiative, the Iran deal. That's why the White House went after General Flynn.
And once they got away with that, they figured, wow, this is easy. The Clinton people figured out they could do it. The media got involved in it. Now the social media companies are totally corrupt. And now, you know, the garbage that's being filtered and the poison that's being filtered to the American people today is really, I think, a danger that leads to this next election, which is why I continue every time to bring great investigative journalists like you, Lee, on the show. And I'm going to continue to promote all the way to the election so that at least if you're listening to this podcast, you can share it with friends of journalists that you know that you can follow on Parler, things that you can watch on Rumble, why you need to stay away from Google and all those social media companies, because it started way back, you know, of the corruption of intelligence. And now has led us full circle where we now have a corrupt entire apparatus from the entire government to corporations, you know, today, whether it be Goodyear tire now, you know, not letting people wear certain things, the shaming of people, the rioting, everything that's happening, Lee, I think you sum it up really in the permanent coup. So I'm going to ask you just one final question.
All right.
And that is this. If you read the permanent coup, do you have to only read that, or do you really need to read the plot against the president to understand the permanent coup?
You're asking an author not to promote both of his books at the same time. No, what I tried to do with the permanent coup is, for as we've done here during the podcast, during our interview, to try to fill in enough information so that people understand, so that people who are coming to the story for the first time understand the basics. But there's a lot of new information, a tremendous amount of new detail. So people who know, maybe not even my book, The Plot Against the President, that first book, but who know the story will find a lot more information here. So but that's what I tried to do.
If somebody is just listening to this podcast for the first time and they only have a chance to read one book, there's no issue. I know you want them to buy both books.
Right.
But truly, they are different creatures.
Yes.
They're even though they're related, but someone can pick up permanent coup, and they're not going to feel like they're lost.
No, not at all. And the advantage of the permanent coup. I mean, both books have their own strong points. I think the advantage of this is it brings us really up to the present, because I do talk about the riots. I even have a little bit about the mail-in voting stuff, which was raised by none other than Barack Obama in a series of tweets April 10th. So it's a really very up-to-date and timely book. And so that's one of its real strong points. It shows how destructive and how poisonous Russiagate was and where we are right now.
And there you have it from Lee Smith. Lee, you've been a very busy writer. You're writing, I know, at least once a week. You have something that comes out at Tablet or The Federalist or Just the News or Real Clear Investigations. And you just had a baby boy. So I know he's, seven weeks old now. Congratulations to you and your wife. And good luck with the book and everything that you're doing. I hope that my audience will go out and buy the book. And you don't have to use Amazon if you don't want to. It's available other places. But with that, Lee, thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much, Congressman, for inviting me on.
Absolutely. This is Devin Nunes. We'll catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Devin Nunes Podcast. We invite you to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. And remember, you can download this podcast on iTunes or at devinnunes.com.
Storm clouds been gathering so long, I don't know.
It's no easy road.
We started wondering if every road dead ends our dreams.
Wind whips the dust up and rain's pouring down.
Good people struggling in every hometown.
We started wondering if we even matter at all.
We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we've kept our American faith.
Now it's not our first trial by fire like this.
It's nothing hard work and family can't fix.
We've got the power to save it all here in our hands.
We'll take that hard road to happier days, 'cause we kept our American faith.
As we, the people, free and strong,
fight through the dark night toward the dawn.
We're already half the way there.
We'll take that hard road to happier days,
'cause we've kept our American faith.
Paid for by Devin Nunes Campaign Committee.